You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. And welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible, and welcome to our Week 7 Monday Night Football postgame show as the Chicago Bears fell to the LA Rams by the final score of 24-10 in a game that I'll summarize in one word as embarrassing. I'm your host, Will DeWitt. Join with me is my co-host, Nicholas Moriano. Nick, that was a rough one. I know we were already venting a little bit before we kind of hop behind the mics here, but just to kind of start off like we usually do with just our general mindset after a game, 5-2 on the year, losing to the Rams, though. I think the fashion in which we lost to them, the anemic offense that we saw tonight really just puts a damper on it more so than just a loss.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this, describing it in one word, is pathetic for the performance that we saw today by, I wouldn't say this entire Bears team. That would be way too harsh of a word to describe this Bears defense. But offensively, what you saw, 3 points. And we've seen the Bears actually score 3 points. We saw that in person, Will. Bears-Chiefs last year, Sunday Night Football. So we've seen this firsthand, so we know exactly what this is like. But pathetic and also not surprising. Which is horrible to say, because this Bears offense, we know, has been bad this season. It's been bad, really, I mean, you could almost say ever since Matt Nagy got here. It had its moments in 2018, but this looked like a similar offense that we've seen at times before since Matt Nagy's been here, and we'll get into about him, this offense, what it can look like going forward. But yeah, pathetic is just a good word to describe what happened tonight.
Embarrassing. Pathetic. This is a team, Nick, that entered the game with the best record, or number one spot in the NFC, with the tiebreaker over Seattle at 5-1 entering this night, and now again 5-2. So they'll be with everyone else, but just I think the nature of the loss, like I said, is really what weighs heavy right now. It just, from the very beginning, it just felt like they weren't here to play, and we've had that issue earlier in the year with the lack of energy, a little bit of lethargicism coming out, and I thought we saw some of that again today. And unfortunately, I look forward to having some of these frank discussions throughout the rest of this show. But before we do, Nick, we need to get into our Miller Lite Monster moment of the game. So for you, Nick, what's going to be your monster moment here in Week 7?
You know what, I think I'll go with the Eddie Jackson touchdown. Finally for him to get his touchdown. Robert Quinn makes a good play on the ball, knocks it out of the running back's hands, and Eddie Jackson looks back, and he's like, there's a yellow flag on the floor. Oh, no, they're going to take it away from me again. So, but it was nice to see him finally get in, especially because he got injured during the game, and it looked like a non-contact injury. You're thinking the worst is going to happen on a night where nothing's going the Bears' way. But I'll go with that as my monster moment. You know, there's a bunch of defensive plays that maybe I could have chose, but Eddie Jackson's, I think, obviously made the most impact. He scored more points than the entire Bears offense did tonight.
Yeah, he scored more than, he scored double the output of the offense, right? Offense got a field goal. He had 6 for his touchdown, so he doubled the offense's output right there on that one play, which is a problem in of itself. For me, you went with the monster moment, the positive monster moment. I'll look at a play that I think was pivotal to the trajectory of how this game was playing out. And I'm going to give it to Foles' interception right in the end zone, that double coverage. On that drive, the Bears had a pretty decent one going, and that was very far few and in between tonight. It took about 6 plays, got themselves in the red zone, put themselves in scoring position. For some god reason, Matt Nagy decides, you know what, we're going to run a one tight end formation. He's going to be Demetrius Harris. No Jimmy Graham in the red zone. No Cole Kmet in the red zone. And instead, we're just going to have Harris out there. Foles gets some pressure. He throws it into a double coverage interception. It was only second down. Could have threw that thing out of the back of the end zone. Lived to fight another day. Again, on that drive, the Bears had a chance to make this a 17-10 ball game with plenty of time left in this thing. Instead, it's the Rams that get the ball. It's the Rams that seize all the momentum. They march down the field, and instead of 17-10, within a few minutes, you're looking at a 24-3 ball game, which, again, I think that play was the dagger right there. So, unfortunately, I think that's going to be my monster moment of the game, brought to you by Miller Lite. And here at the Chicago Audible, our goal through the years is always to bring Bears fans together all across the globe, and that's more important now than ever. So whether you're toasting to friends near or far, great taste is always close by with the original light beer, Miller Lite, who has been there to bring people together through Miller time. And with us nearing Halloween, here's a riddle for you. What do you call a group of friends wearing orange and blue costumes to get together week after week, no matter how cold it gets, who hug and toast with Miller Lite after every great play and in between the endless choruses of "Duh, Bears"? I mean, I wish we had more of those today, Nick, but you call that Miller time in Chicago. So here is to the Bears. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. No matter where you're watching the game, it's always Miller time in Chicago. Pick up Miller Lite for your game day needs. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, you're listening to Chicago Audible. This is our Week 7 Chicago Bears postgame show. Bears, I don't need to say it, but I'm going to say it again. Lose to the LA Rams 24-10, drop to 5-2 on the season. Their first road loss this season here. I don't know if home or away really even matters right now, Nick, but that's what I saw on the screen, and that's what I'm going with. We are jumping into our second quarter of the show because I'm skipping over the stats on purpose because I think we'll talk about them plenty. And honestly, it's a game where I don't think stats cut it, Nick. So I'm going to make an executive decision here to kind of roll on. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about this offense. Putrid. Where, if you're diagnosing, what kind of held it back the most? And I'm saying the most because we can carve this thing up for almost every angle possible. What do you think is holding them back the most?
If I had to say, again, there's a bunch of things that like you just said, Will, but I think really the offensive line factors into everything that this Bears offense wants to do. You don't have enough time for Nick Foles to actually operate the plays that he wants. And what leaked out, surprisingly, over, like, I know I saw you quote tweeted it, so did I, about Nick Foles saying that, you know, questioning really the play calls if they're going to work because he knows he's not going to have enough time. Well, look, the offensive line in front of him, you're having Sam Mustipher, Jim Rainey, Fetty, and, you know, just guys that are not supposed to be in starting lineups, and obviously Rashad Coward being a part of that mix. But I think when you can't run the ball, 49 yards rushing, Will, on the night, Nick Foles doesn't have time. I think Matt Nagy would like to call deep shots, but he knows that – actually, he doesn't know that Nick Foles won't have time because he's still calling him anyway. It does factor into a lot of things, but I think right there second is Matt Nagy and his play calling. I really do believe that. I think this game should highlight really the struggles that Matt Nagy has as a play caller. Still a good head coach, I believe, but as a play caller, I don't know if there's a future for him there because it just is, it looked atrocious. There's another word that we could throw out there for this Bears offense tonight.
Man, whipping out the thesaurus here late tonight, Nick. Are you having flashbacks of a lot of very difficult conversations that you and I had last season? Because we had a very long stretch a year ago where we were pretty adamant that Matt Nagy needed to have what I called the humility to just let go of the play calling duties because he just doesn't have that special something, and he seems like just the lack of awareness, situational awareness, and personnel disawareness as well. Just to everything, it's just holding his whole offense back. He's not. I mean, there's times today when we're in third and manageable, and we're doing things that are 3-4 yards behind the sticks, and we don't have guys after the catch that can break all these tackles and do some things, and they don't even have the space to succeed. And it's again, run, pass seems to be becoming a thing again tonight. But for me, Nick, when I was watching this Bears offense struggle, I was having a lot of flashbacks of some of these talks that we've had a year ago about maybe handing the play calling duties to someone else. And I remember last preseason, Nagy was allowing like Dave Ragone to call plays in the preseason and Mark Helfrich to do the same. And then he gets to the regular season and you're like, whoa, this is so bad. Why are you giving up every chance you get to get better at it? And here we are again, a whole year later, halfway through the season just about, and we're back to square one, it feels like, with this conversation. For me, I think Matt Nagy needs to look in the mirror, understand that maybe he's not the right guy for that job. And as a head coach, if you take those responsibilities off your plate, he's a great leader, and we know that. He's an awesome leader, but he may not just be the right play caller for this team, and that could open up himself for other opportunities to help this football team instead of maybe holding them back. But I don't know if now's the right time or you wait till a bye week. I know that's coming up here, you know, not relatively soon, but getting there. But I don't know, Nick, would you make a change for the Saints? I don't think it's going to happen, but would you?
Yeah, I just don't know if it would. But look, we talked about, like, would there need to be some kind of change on the offensive line to maybe make this better, maybe even putting in Alex Bars. But I think the same conversation can be said about a play caller, because at this point, what else do you need to see from Matt Nagy? Especially in these primetime games, you see that this offense just comes to a halt from whatever reasons. Like, on that fourth down and one play, Will, what in God's green earth does Matt Nagy think is a good idea to run a toss sweep to Cordell Patterson to the left and have Javon Wims block a linebacker? I get it, he's been blocking better this season, but that's a mismatch every single time. To have both your pass-catching tight ends, Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, out of the red zone, and to have Nick Foles roll out left when he's a more of a stationary quarterback, and then he makes a bad decision, throws the interception, but the whole play design and the personnel on that play are off. Why have him roll? If you're going to have him roll out, even if you shouldn't even do that in the first place, it's not going to be left. And you're not going to have do your best, better tight ends, especially what Cole Kmet did earlier in that game with that amazing catch. It just doesn't make sense. There's too many of those plays, Will. And at this point in time, 3 years in, it's time to just, I think, give it up. Like you said, I agree with you. He's a good head coach, a good leader. Still has those questionable decisions with coaching, but I still think he is a good coach. A play caller, that's a whole different conversation. That's why, you know, there's only certain people that can do both. And I just don't think at this point in time Matt Nagy's that guy. Look to kind of, again, maybe you just have to – you just got to look for a change, Will. Like, I'm out of words, and I don't want to keep egging on about this, but that's what really it is, and it's just not getting any better.
No, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you said it. Only a handful of full guys can do both. I mean, both are full-time jobs. It's a lot to take in what a defense is doing to you, calling the right plays, dialing them up, having them in your back pocket, adjusting in between drives, and also coaching this entire thing and being a part of every down, even when the defense is out there. He can't step away for an extended period of time. He's a head coach. He needs to be on the sideline paying attention to what's happening on the field. And I don't know if he has that ability to multitask as well. And again, and what really kind of irks me is there are those, I'll say, really good moments where he does dial up the right play. But what happens? It's the execution. What happens? You know, you have sacks coming out of timeouts. You call a timeout almost on back-to-back plays to go backwards. And then you have the two-minute warning, go backwards again. And it's the details, which I know we keep hearing about. So I don't know if it's just this offense is overloaded with too many minute details and they can't play fast and play fluid because they're overanalyzing and overthinking out there. Or if it's a lack of talent, which I think there's definite areas on his offense that does have the lack of talent. Bad combination. And I think, Nick, this is probably the biggest issue of all three of these things. It's lack of coaching or poor coaching in game, poor game management, lack of talent up front for the offensive line, and then execution from the skill guys is sporadic at best. And when all those things are coming together, luckily we have a defense that kind of makes it palatable most weeks, at least so far this season. But not tonight. Tonight you needed to do a little bit more on offense. They're unable to get it done. And unfortunately, I think we saw what happens or what kind of game it'll be. And it's painful to watch whenever the defense can't completely carry the load. And we'll talk about them here in just a little bit. But, Nick, what was the biggest surprise maybe on offense that you had today that the Bears struggled with? Because I was skeptical. You and I both were about them establishing a run. I thought the Bears did probably their worst job of finding extensions in a running game that we've seen in weeks. I know the Rams kind of caught on to some things that the Bears were doing with the quick pass game, the wheel routes. They did a good job of adjusting to that, taking it away. And it seemed like the Bears didn't have anything else in their back pocket to counter with.
Yeah, I think for me, and maybe there's a lot, but I think just seeing that Demetrius Harris was still getting targets early on in this game when Cole Kmet, yeah, I mean, that really irks me. I think even, like, I don't know if that's Matt Nagy being stubborn. Like, that's always been this word that's been tagged with him. And look, Nagy and Demetrius Harris go back to Kansas City, and there's this connection there. That, hey, maybe I'm going to keep going with my guy just so I can prove people wrong. Like, he wants to prove people wrong that he could be a good play caller. But maybe that's just the thing, just the stubbornness of Matt Nagy to kind of do things over and over again and expect, you know, do the same thing over again and expecting a different result. It's just, it doesn't make sense. But, yeah, I can't pinpoint it to one thing. Well, it didn't. Like, look, honestly, I didn't like Nick Foles, some of his decisions in missing wide-open players, like, down the field. Like, Darnell Mooney was a guy that I think should have had a lot more yards in this game. But given the offensive line, he has to, you know, make some pressure throws. But, look, on the game winner to Atlanta, does he not have a guy right in his face? As right as he's about to throw, that pass to Darnell Mooney on the left side, there's a guy in his face. Just give it a little air. If anything, Mitch Trubisky underthrows that, and it's perfect for Darnell Mooney to catch it and go for a touchdown. But, it's just little things. It's execution from a lot of guys, and I wasn't expecting much from the offensive line, so I wasn't really expecting much from David Montgomery. But so when it goes back to answering your question, it goes back to Matt Nagy. It goes back to Nick Foles, and those seem to be, you know, those seem to be the biggest talking points every postgame show. Those two guys and the lack of execution.
Yeah, and then somehow we talk our way out of making them big focal points in our preview shows because we want to look elsewhere, and then we get back to a game, and it goes right back to those big two names, just like you mentioned, Nick. For me, I thought the offensive line did a piss-poor job all game long. That doesn't matter who it was, interior, exterior. You have Bobby Massey getting destroyed by Leonard Floyd, not really wanting to see that. Don't even want to talk about that. That never even happened. Interior, you have Aaron Donald making everyone look silly. Cody Whitehair leaving with an injury, a calf injury. Maybe some of his pride was left out there as well, just by how bad it was. And then, yeah, Ifedi, Coward. No one was helping out up front at all. And I think, Montgomery averaged just about 3 yards a carry himself, give or take. It doesn't need to be perfect today on the stat sheet. 3.4, 48 yards on 14 carries. He was getting contacted in the backfield. There's times he's getting the handoff and he's already spinning because he just knows, like, I'm going to get touched as soon as I have this ball in my gut. Someone's in my lap. Nick Foles, I understand it. Usually he's good at getting the ball out quick. I thought the Rams did a good job of understanding that and combating it. And just kudos to them for doing that, whether it's getting pressure, sending blitzes from different angles, doing some fake pressures where it looks like you're sending more than four, but you do send the four and you drop everyone back. They did some good things that really made the Bears offense difficult. When I'm actually looking at, and I usually put like just quick blurbs of things I want to talk about on each side of the ball. For me, on offense, Nick, today I had difficult to do anything. Offensive line, that's all I put. Enough said. Poor execution, no matter what they do, and just so flat. Those are the five things I wanted to talk about. And for the defense, it doesn't get much better today. There are some better things and more specifics, but when you watch this offense, there's no cohesion. There's no fluidity to it. It's hard to even get any sense of what they're trying to accomplish out there. It's really throwing me for a loop today, tonight, because again, you see things, they're running short on third down. They're doing very basic things to even get themselves into third and manageable. And then when you watch the Rams on the other side of the ball, and we'll talk about them, but they're doing misdirection. They're doing a lot of motion. I remember when Matt Nagy's offense used to do a lot of motion. Like 2018, you'd have guys crossing formations, and it was fun. It is so boring right now. You just line up. You stand there. You do a hard count. You snap the ball, and it feels like everyone knows where the ball's going. And I think the predictability on top of the lack of execution is another damning element. But again, we already talked about that with play calling.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, too, is, like, each of the drives is something that's, like, holding this team back. The first drive, there's a penalty by Jermaine Ifedi. That puts them in a bad situation. They can't be behind the sticks, Will. If that happens, just give up on the drive. You know the Bears aren't going to overcome it. The second drive, there's a drop by Demetrius Harris, and they end up going three and out. There were two drives, Will, that lasted a total of 1 minute and 59 seconds. Two drives that they had. I think it was their second drive and I believe their fourth drive of the game, where the fourth drive is where they wanted to go for fourth and one on their own 20. And I think, honestly, Rashad Coward saves Matt Nagy there by having that false start.
Yep.
Because with the way that offensive line was blocking, I don't trust that they get the first down. I really don't. So, I mean, it's just, like, all these things, and I wanted to bring this up, actually, a little bit earlier, Will. It's like, Matt Nagy, no doubt in this press conference, is going to ask about, we need to find the why. We need to find out the answer to the why. And I am getting so sick and tired of hearing that. Like, what is this why that you're trying to figure out? It's been a three-year question for you about trying to find out the why of this offense or the why of anything. And he hasn't even come close to finding the answer to it. So it is just him, I think, avoiding the question we're going to hear a lot of tonight. And what is he going to say? We didn't execute. We didn't go to the details. And all this generic coaches speak. It's like, I would love for somebody to ask him, why do you think you should be the play caller next game? What gives you the confidence that you are the best person to put this Bears in a position to be better on offense? That's a fair question, I think, after this offensive performance. But I know that it probably won't happen, but it's just, there's just so many things. And we haven't even gone to player specifics because it's more than that right now. Far bigger than that. It's just a bigger picture here with this offense and all of its problems.
So many problems. And again, when you're winning, Nick, I mean, there's weeks when we're on the post game and it's like, well, they didn't do a good job here, but we won. So let's look at the positive, or we'll figure it out next week. And when you lose, it's hard. It's much difficult to overlook some of these items as well. But Nick, I mean, you were hitting on it, but I see one drive, 3 plays, 5 yards a minute, 20. Another drive, 3 plays, 5 yards a minute. 6 plays, 3 plays, 4 yards a minute, 22. 4 plays, 7 yards a minute, 27. 6 plays, 18 yards a minute, 55. 9 plays, 30 yards a minute, 42. I mean, right there is like five or so drives that couldn't even last 2 minutes long. When you do that, and then you have the offense of the Rams that were, for the most part of this game, having their way with this Bears defense. Bears defense came up some good stops throughout, but as much as the Rams were on the field, only took a few drives. And I think one thing, at least for today's game, Nick, that really, really hurt this Bears team, and I'm sure the Rams wanted to do this, and most teams try to do this, but winning the field position battle. So many drives to the Bears today started so deep in their own territory. Now, something weirdly, I had a hunch that was going to be important. I don't usually keep track of this, but today I wanted to keep track of, where does this Bears offensive line start? You're seeing their own 7, their own 18, their own 10, their own 19, their own 1, their own 20. And then I gave up just because it was already 24-3, and I was like, anything after this doesn't matter. So there's just all those drives that are starting so deep in your own territory, where on the flip side for the Rams, they're starting at like the 30 and the 40 and the 45, and all those drives for the Rams end in points. Now, when the Rams are deeper in their own territory, not so much. But for the Bears offense that needs all the help that it can get, when it's starting inside its own 15, it's, you may as well. I think Adam Hogue tweeted when they're actually starting at their own 1, like, hey, you know, if Nagy wants to punt it here, I think we can defend that. And he's not too far off from that, because should have been a safety. There's that holding on Demetrius Harris as well in the end zone that was suspect at best, that they didn't call it. Lucky for us, don't think it matters at the end of the day, but lucky for us, they did not. It took the announcers a while to catch up, because I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a safety. And then they're like, oh yeah, just holding. I'm like, just holding in the end zone? Like, do you know what that means? And they just kind of brushed it off. I was like, great. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many things, Nick, where I think if I boil it down, it's just no identity. Not one.
And there's never been an identity, Will. And that's the thing. Even in 2018, where it looked better, where the Bears can actually move the ball at times, and the Bears were a great football team, There still wasn't really an identity. And 2019, there definitely wasn't. And right now, 2020, through seven games, they're not even close to an identity. And I don't know if there ever will be at this point, because I can't tell you what the Bears are really good at. I just can't. Like, there's not a person right now in this chat, you know, listen to this podcast later, that could tell me what the Bears are good at offensively. And that's a problem, because that's a lot of people. So you can't tell me what they're good at. And they're good at going three and out. They're good at giving the ball back to the opposing team. But, yeah, we all know that. But it's just a lot of problems. And, Will, I was also tracking how many times the Bears started drives with a run with David Montgomery. More times than not, when they did that, that drive didn't go very far. But the times that they actually passed on that first down to start off a drive, they actually ended up at 3 points. They were in the red zone. On the play that they get an intercept, they start with a pass to Demetrius Harris, of all people. He actually catches it this time. It ends up being an interception in the red zone. So it just doesn't make sense for Matt Nagy. He keeps consistent, like his quarterbacks do, making the same mistakes. And he says, be you and learn from your mistakes. He hasn't done that himself. So exactly. He's basically a hypocrite for telling his players to do something that he himself is not embodying. And that's why, going back to our conversation earlier, Matt Nagy, the coach, I'm okay with. Matt Nagy, the play caller, I'm not. And I think, I don't know if Bill Lazor's the answer now when I say that, but I'm just done with Matt Nagy, the play caller, at this point in time. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating, and I tweeted that out. I don't know if this is the right move, but it just, something has to change for this offense to get better.
It's tough, because once you hand it off, it's difficult to bring it back. And I think that's what he knows. Once it's out of his hands, it's out of his hands for the rest of this year at a minimum. And even if it's worse, it's harder to rip it back as well. But yeah, I can just see the headlines now, you know, like, laser focused and like things like that. Like we can get those, geared up and ready to roll, anytime there, Matt Nagy. But, and again, I think if he, takes those duties away, maybe we are, taking timeouts correctly. And the fact that we don't want to take a timeout near the end of the half when you have a chance to get the ball back, we'll talk about that near the end of the show, because there's another big problem over there. But Nick, what you asked a question, and it was a rhetorical question, like, what are the Bears good at in offense? And the fact that you said no one can give you a positive like spin on anything here, they're not good at anything, and I sat here trying so hard to find the one thing to tell you about, because like there has to be something, and I got nothing.
Maybe fourth quarter scoring sometimes when they're down by 21 points, but no, that shouldn't be get out of jail free card, right? You're down for a reason, because your offense couldn't do anything for three quarters, but that didn't happen today. And all these garbage yards, just take them out, because they meant nothing, because the Bears were literally shut out for this entire game. And it's a simple question, but there's no answer to it, because it doesn't exist. Just like the why that Matt Nagy's searching for and has been searching for years now to solve. But talk about this offense. I feel like I'm getting red here, just getting angry with this topic. It's just so frustrating.
It's frustrating. At garbage time, so when it did get down to 24-3, the total yard split was 360 for the Rams, 175 for the Bears. At the end of the game, it was 371 for the Rams. They only gained 11 more yards. Good. Defense turned it up near the end of the stretch here. Defense tried towards the end here to at least give this Bears offense chances. The Bears did get 100 more yards after the fact, but again, they were just pushing it. Rams are playing off. It's hard to find a lot of stock in that one. The fact that we were 4-14 on third down, I know the Bears were very bad on third down entering, like one of the worst in the NFL. 4-14, 1-4 on fourth down, though. That one hurts. Like the fact he had to go for it four times on fourth down and he got one of them. It's hard any way you cut it. And then I think the most damning stat of them all, though, Nick, when it comes to this offense, 0-2 in the red zone. You got down there twice and you came up with 0 points, the interception, and then also the one when they turned it over on down. So again, those, if you would have found points on both of those, if you would have found your way into the end zone, I don't have to be a math whiz. 7 plus 7 is 14. 10 plus 14 is 24. 24-24, that's a tie ball game. And again, game flow, things could have changed, but the points were out there to be scored, and the Bears just failed to capitalize on their chances. And I can't believe they actually had chances at some of the rate today. So offensive line, they allowed 4 sacks. On top of that, I don't even want to know how many quarterback hits, but I'm going to find out anyway because it was a lot. Another 8. he was getting beaten around. Only 3 yards or so per carry on the ground. And again, I'm starting to get worried about David Montgomery just because I haven't seen a lot out of him over the last 2 years. And as much as I want to keep my hopes high on him, and again, I know the offensive line isn't helping him, but still, even when he has some of these easy breaks, he does seem like he doesn't have that breakaway speed that I thought he maybe would have. And again, sample size is real small because usually he's contacted in the backfield. But when it comes to like a talent, overall talent of this Bears offense, without Tariq Cohen now too, and it just feels like, as excited as we were in the offseason about talent, I don't know if it's just lack of talent. And I'm not looking offensive line here. I'm looking skill guys. I don't know if it's lack of talent or if we just can't extract or capitalize on the talent of this offense. And I think that's going to be one of my bigger questions as I kind of watch the remainder of this season.
You know, Will, I think that a question that we have had in the past in previous episodes, I don't know if it was like countdown to camp or whatever, wherever it was, but the question was presented to us, has any offensive player gotten better under Matt Nagy? Actually showed significant improvement over the years of him being the coach there. And that was a difficult question to answer because you look at the grand scheme of things, all these players that Matt Nagy's had, like Anthony Miller so far has not gotten better. He's very consistent in what he's done with the first 2 years, having those spurts of productive games and going missing for a number of games. Allen Robinson, he had a 1,500-yard season in Jacksonville. So, I mean, but he's always been good. So I don't think he's gotten better. He's just consistently stayed, to be the good player, great player that he is. You look at the offensive line, Charles Leno Jr. in 2018 probably did get better. But now he's just regressing, and now he's back to showing that. I think it's got to be there's a factor there. He's the one running this entire team, and I know there's position coaches, but he's the overseer. And that's why I think he needs to give up one of his positions so he can focus on some a little bit more things. But it's under his management, and so he's going to get the one build for why these guys are not being productive. I mean, you can, of course, blame position coaches. That's their work with these guys day to day, but you're the head coach. These guys, I think culturally they're great, and they always have been. But actual football playing the game of football, I don't think any of these guys really that you could say have definitely gotten better under him and just this coaching staff, which is, again, a problem.
Oh, that's a big problem. That's a fun question, not so much. As my clock here strikes midnight to start considering, now it's October 27th for me. So, that's a toughie. And like you said, Charles Leno Jr. got better in 2018. That's what I was like, do you put that on Nagy? Or was it just a good year from Leno Jr.? Because even since then, it's taken some steps backward. As we all too well know, is there anything else we want to talk about on offense today? I mean, we didn't even go player specifics. I mean, we got to give a little bit of praise to Cole Kmet. You mentioned that really awesome catch that he had along the sideline, to get up and over, corral that thing, and to keep running with. I mean, that was one of the best plays I've seen from a tight end so far this season in a Bears uniform, which is exciting. He followed that up with another catch on that drive, and then yet again, they decided that was enough, and we'll call it, and you can watch the game as a spectator there, Cole. Still don't understand that one personally, but other than that, it's hard to find any solace in anything. I'm glad Anthony Miller ran a route ahead of the sticks a couple of times. So a couple first downs there. Really stretching here, Nick. How about you? Anything from a player-specific standpoint?
Not from player specific. Well, I guess it is player specific because it deals with Foles, but I just kind of want to read off what Jason Leisure from the Chicago Sun-Times tweeted during the game, so if anyone didn't get what I was referencing earlier. So he tweeted, Brian Griese just said that Nick Foles told the ESPN crew that sometimes Nagy sends in a play call, and Foles already knows it won't work because he won't have enough time after the snap. That is something. And then he follows up that tweet. Matt Nagy's response from the presser, we've never had that conversation. I don't know. You'll have to ask Foles. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said that. I'm sure he'll explain what he meant by that.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens most likely tomorrow when they have to, I think when they have to speak to the media or over Zoom, but it's already brewing, Will. Were you thinking? Here's a fuck. Were you thinking Mitch Trubisky would enter this game at some point? Prior to Eddie Jackson's maybe touchdown,
I didn't think he would, but I was in the back of my head. I had like one of those like whispers, like just throw Mitch in. Like why not? At this rate, why you did it against Atlanta? It worked, and we talked about it. It's a season where you kind of got to ride the right hand, and you know what? Not that maybe Mitch is the answer tonight, but with the offensive line as bad as it was, and you have someone that's a little bit more mobile, you never know. Also, though, I've seen Mitch plenty of times fold under that pressure, throw a terrible ball, and make matters worse. So I think we're damned either way, most honestly. But whenever you're losing as bad as it was, I'd almost want anything. I almost would rather see Mitch out there returning punts than Ted Ginn Jr. right now. Honestly, he has speed. I'm sure he knows how to fair catch and not let it go backwards deeper into our own territory, but maybe the best offense we get. But yeah, Nick, I mean, I'm looking here. I mean, Robinson, his stat line, I think, is a little misleading. He had that 42-yarder, which, again, was in very much desperation mode, which kind of skewed all of his stats. Commits right up there second. Jimmy Graham, I mean, all these. Here's the thing. I'm looking at numbers. These are all empty yards and catches. None of these meant much. And I think that's also the problem. Like, you see 261 yards gained by these guys, and they didn't amount to anything. They only got a field goal tonight. So I don't think it makes any sense to look at them and go, ooh, you know, David Montgomery caught all five of his targets, but 21 yards, 4.2 yards per catch. It doesn't make any sense. Not tonight. So for me, I'm not even going to look into those any further. Third downs can win the ball. Red zone we talked about. No identity. Still searching for one. I got nothing further. Again, flat, embarrassing, atrocious. What was the other words that we were using?
What are we? Pathetic? I don't know if pathetic. You said that one. I'm sorry. Yeah, so it's all those. And I really can't say if this is going to get better. Like, this was a terrible performance. Just, you had everything going wrong. But how much better will it get from here? Does it get better? Like, I know I wrote in a column, like, the Bears are a dangerous team because their offense still hasn't showed up. But I was also expecting the offense to eventually somewhat progressively get average, maybe even average, below average. I don't know if they could even come close to that at this point in time. And you have the Saints, you have the Titans. I know the Vikings are coming up for another, I think it's supposed to be Sunday night. Well, no way that's going to happen. They're going to flex that to like a noon game with the way these two teams are probably going to be playing over the next couple weeks. But yeah, I just don't know if this actually can get better.
I'm going to leave it at that. I think that's the best way to just keep it open. And as we move forward with yet another week, it's hasn't been pretty all season, besides a few miraculous comebacks. And that's been about it. So can it get better is the question that will keep you mulling over throughout this week. But let's go ahead, Nick. Let's switch over to the third quarter of our show, and let's talk about the Chicago Bears defense. Again, they gave up 24 points today, over 370 yards total, a lot of yards, a lot of damage happening on the ground. And even though I see that the Rams finished the game at 4.7 yards per rush, which is when they were trying to milk the clock and the Bears were kind of going all out to stopping the run, there was a point in this game where they were averaging over 7 yards per pop on the ground. And we were talking in our preview show, like, hey, we're feeling better about this Bears' ability to stop the run. And maybe this will be the week where they can really solidify some of this confidence that we're having in us. And then it just felt, at least for me personally, it got ripped right out of my heart. And I feel exposed yet again, at least exposed in terms of, like, every time I feel like I try to give this team some confidence in one regard or another, they totally find a way to ruin it. That's kind of just my general, just random thoughts over on defense. Do you have any yourself? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, to add on top of that, some of the things that were happening throughout the season were missed tackles, and there were so many in this game. Look, I know this defense was out there for a long time, and, you know, if this was any other defense, it would have folded worse than what kind of happened here throughout the course of the game. But there were still missed tackles where that's just lack of, you know, finishing a play where you see, I think in one drive, Dan Trevathan misses a play. Next play later, so is Roquan Smith. There's both your inside starting linebackers that were kind of trending in the right direction. We've seen Roquan Smith miss tackles all season. We really have, and we've been wanting him to take that next step. Can't take that next step if you are a inside middle linebacker missing tackles. And then Tashaun Gibson, who dropped, not only did he drop an interception, but he just didn't tackle the tight end over the middle who walks into the end zone for a touchdown. So we saw multiple guys just miss tackles throughout this game. And I know, I get it. The defense is out there for a while, but you still got to tackle. That's just the basics of football.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, if you don't tackle, what's the point? This isn't flag. You don't stop them by putting two. It's not two-hand touch. You have to bring them down to the turf, and they just didn't seem interested at points, Nick, of doing that. I mean, you talked about a few player specifics, but I mean, we both were around the same time, just like exasperated by the amount of missed tackles that we saw. I noticed that one as well, and it's interesting to me because over the last few weeks they've been playing hard, nose getting downhill, finishing strong, and none of that was happening tonight whatsoever. They just seemed, like I said, disinterested is going to be the word that comes to mind yet again. Like, there's a play where I forgot who missed a tackle, but there's like three Bears. It's kind of like, okay, who wants to go get him? Like, what? Like, they all kind of looked at one another as the tight end's still running down the field. I'm like, no. Like, that's not, no, you need, where's this gang tackling mentality? Are they afraid of getting flags called on them for being too rough now after all these calls that they've had over the last few weeks? I don't know, but that's definitely not a way to combat it. It just, to me, the lack of willingness to play through the whistle too. I mean, this even goes to the one run that they had in the red zone as they were just moving the pile like 7-8 yards. Like, what? Like, this Bears defense in the red zone, that's not what we've seen out of them. That's not the effort that I've grown accustomed to seeing out of this defense. And I thought we saw that far too often tonight. And I know there are some things specifically that I know you want to hit on, and I do as well, about what the Rams did well to combat maybe some of the Bears' aggressiveness. And they did a good job of exposing that. I thought the Bears, at least for me, on either the front side or the back side, didn't matter, but they just got destroyed along the edges tonight, allowing the Rams to set the edge themselves and get around and head upfield, and like, there's no contain on the backside of these plays, and those are the two easy ones. I mean, you know, as Brandon would say, throw it all the way back to B. Games are won and lost in the trenches, and they could not hold their own along the edges for the majority of this game, and allowing Goff to get some easy throws on the run, outside of the pocket, or just bringing them back and swinging them around cross formation. Just too many easy yards on the ground, or with Goff throwing it outside the pocket and just getting to the edges, to me was a big one on top of the missed tackles. But I know, Nick, you were jotting down or at least paying attention to play action, which is something that we mentioned into our preview, and that too was giving this Bears defense some fits.
Yeah, absolutely. It seemed, and look, the Rams run a ton of play action. Jared Goff is pretty successful off of it when Sean McVay calls it for that Rams offense. But when they were utilizing their play action, you just saw guys were out of position and there were guys running wide open for maybe not the biggest plays, but They kept on piling up for first downs and just gaining that yak just because a simple, you know, handoff fake, turn your back to the defense, look now to see that there's a window behind where the linebacker should have been, and you're just an easy completion for Jared Goff. And not that I think, like, even in the first half when they were hurting the Bears off of play action, he still missed throws, but it just made it way easier when the Rams were able to utilize their play action and just hit where the vacant spots in the defense were at. So, and that was something I knew that the Bears needed to watch out for. And early on, the Bears defense did not adjust, but I think throughout later in the game, they did do a better job of mitigating the kind of plays that were happening off play action. But that was something that I knew was going to happen, and it hurt them. And look, I mean, I think right now, Will, we are talking negatively about this defense, but man, they were the only thing keeping the Bears in this game for a majority of it. Yep. And then until, look, they got tired, they bended, like we always talk, they bend and don't break. They broke a couple times. It's bound to happen, but when your defense is, or when your offense is barely on the field, even great defenses like that are going to give up points. So I know we've been harping on them, and probably people in chat maybe are getting upset about that. This Bears defense, I think, is still a good unit, and they were applying some pressure where they were like centimeters off from it just being a pressure to a sack there. And I think we will give them credit for sure, but there were some holes and things that need to be fixed moving forward. But yeah, you can't be out of position off play action. You can't miss tackles. You can't get destroyed off the edges. But that did happen tonight.
It did. There's more I would talk about. But for me, Nick, and again, I think we all know you're only going to bend so much. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to have a game where things break a little bit more than we've expected here so far this season. I mean, the first half, they held them to 10 points. You know, it's a 10-3 ball game at half. And you come out, the defense came out, they forced a punt. All right, let's get back in this ball game. The offense has other plans. We're going to go 4 yards on three plays. Again, starting at your own one, but that's when the Rams, of course, they start almost at midfield. And then whenever you do that, it's real easy money. But I think for me, it was the nature of some of these touchdown drives. They weren't really bending. It was complete breaking from the start. I mean, when they were scoring, it was boom, 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 boom. They're in the red zone. You blink, they're in, and they score. And for me, you saw that after that punt. But again, okay, they let up another score. And then it's the offense's response of, okay, we'll march down the field just to throw an interception in the end zone. So then you have to go back out there all deflated yet again, and then they gave up another touchdown. And after that, though, they did their job. Forced them to miss field goal, fumble touchdown from Eddie Jackson, a punt. Well, then two kneel downs since the end of the game. But again, it's one of those, the first half, I thought we saw some really good things from this defense. Early to middle second half, offense wasn't helping them. I'm sure they were getting irritated. And on top of that, a little tired. And they weren't on their best night either. And they're getting some short fields to work with. And that's a double-edged kind of problem for this defense to kind of deal with, figure things out. And unfortunately, it was just a little bit too much tonight. I think when I think about this game as a whole, what kind of irked me was, you know, you see them putting up 24 points. They didn't do anything special. Like, they just ran the ball. And the Bears didn't have much interest in stopping it tonight. And then on top of that, Jared Goff, he didn't look like he was lighting things up. He was inaccurate, sporadic. When pressure was able to hit home, you'd definitely get him off his mark. And I think that's what kind of gnaws at me the most. It's just knowing that they weren't even playing great on offense either. It was just enough tonight with some short fields to put up points. And if you put up points on this Bears team, it's really hard for them to come back because they're not built to, unfortunately, score points, which you think every football team should be built to do to some degree or another. But when we're looking at some players tonight, I know Eddie Jackson had the touchdown, which thank God he finally got one. Thank God that, like you said, that injury, that non-contact when he jumped and he grabbed his knee. My first thought was like the Lamar Houston, which I think was like almost to this day a few years ago. When he did that celebration, jumped up and then tore his ACL. And I saw Jackson jump up and immediately put his hand on his knee. I was like, oh boy, that's probably not good news. And then he came back. He was okay. He was able to get a touchdown. Outside of that tonight, Akeem Hicks, what's your take on his game? I know he had a lot of penalties, but outside of those penalties, I love the tenacity that he still brought, and I thought that was keeping a little bit of a chip on the shoulder that is his defense.
Yeah, no, I honestly thought, Will, that Akeem Hicks was the most dominant defensive player in this game. When you look at it, it might not register, show up on the stat sheet with Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack playing this game as well, but Akeem Hicks was in the backfield. Akeem Hicks was impacting plays, and Akeem Hicks was just bringing it to these offensive linemen. Like, if you watch him after a play, he's usually there yelling, and I don't know if he's actually yelling at the offensive lineman or just yelling in general, just to let it be known that he is a dominant defensive lineman. He's what, number two in terms of most double teams behind, of course, Aaron Donald. That's how offenses are treating him. And he was making impact plays. And even the penalties, Will, that were happening in this game that he got called for, look, it was a roughing the passer play where how are you stopping a guy that's 6 foot four, 6 foot five, 350 from not falling on a quarterback? Like, it just, it's not physics. It's like, I'm not good at it, but I know you can't do that. And even the neutral zone infraction that he had, it looked like he got back. It was set, and the offensive lineman just touched him, and, you know, there's the flag or whatever. So the penalties that were called on him, very touchy, ticky-tack fouls. But overall, his play, like, he was dominant. And look, even the past 2 weeks, he didn't get a sack. But this game specifically just showed how much he can impact the game. And like I said, I thought he was the best defensive player, and Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald played tonight.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely I thought Hicks did as well. And on top of that, you saw some really good plays from, like, Mario Edwards getting in there, Mingo getting involved. Someone that you don't hear a lot about tonight, and usually we say, I feel like you'll feel like there's a bigger impact throughout the week. I don't think it's one of those games, though. Robert Quinn, you seem very much a non-factor. Am I missing anything? Did I miss a play from him? I see that he had a couple of tackles, but I don't remember anything that was, like, a big moment for him or anything that was even impactful.
The forced fumble that Eddie Jackson scored on, that's him.
That was Quinn.
Number 94. That was number 94, yeah. I'm positive it was Robert Quinn. But you're right, because look, on the other side and the other team is a guy that you replace is Leonard Floyd. So you wanted to see Robert Quinn make the impact that Floyd had, I think, throughout the game. And what I think irritated me the most from Leonard Floyd, and we were all big supporters of him early on. Of course we would have been. But he did that jump chop club move, which was on Bobby Massey.
Yep.
And that's a move that he learned from Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald learned that move from Robert Quinn. And I tweet out, let's full circle how this all kind of happens here. But I think it was, other than that one play, Will, it was that Leonard Floyd outshined not only the Bears, I want to say edge rushers in general, but he outshined Robert Quinn, who he's there to replace to be that guy. And again, that's another problem.
Okay, well, hey, if that was Quinn, I'm glad that I missed it so you can rub it in my face a little bit. I didn't have who got it. I just saw the ball on the ground. I saw Eddie Jackson in the end zone. I did a little dance in my living room. I was like, okay, cool, we got something to cheer about. Jotted it on my notes and totally forgot to actually find out who knocked that ball free. I knew it was a good play in the backfield and needed one at that time, so that's great. Outside of that, it's not third phase time, but in my notes for Roy Robertson-Harris, I have at least a good play in defense. He also had that block field goal. And then on top of that, too, who did I want to mention today? I thought that, you talked about Roquan Smith having a kind of night. And I thought my X factor on defense, which was Danny Trevathan, was kind of in that same boat. Unfortunately, it was a game backward for Danny Trevathan. For me, Nick, what do you think was the biggest detriment for the Bears today? Was it just a lack of, to me, I think it's lack of discipline, over aggressiveness in terms of pursuit on the backside of some plays, and then going back to just missed tackles. And again, missed tackles is such a easy thing to see and to point out, but you make some of those. We could talk about a whole different kind of ball game here, and unfortunately that wasn't the case. But I think for me, it was the Bears over-pursuing, over-biting us on the play action, and then missing some of these tackles. Is there anything else that you think the Rams did that seemed to expose? I mean, they didn't really, again, they weren't like going after the Bears really too much. It seemed like they were just really taking what the Bears gave them, and it was easy, and easier than we're used to seeing, especially underneath, and then just taking those and gaining yards after the catch.
You know what? I think to go off what you were saying, Will, missed tackles, but also missed opportunities. When you think about it, the dropped interception by Tashaun Gibson, that maybe changed
the game. Is that a drop?
I don't know. What'd you tweet that it was like playing volleyball?
Yeah, like he was spiking that thing down on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know what he – like, you can catch the ball to Sean Gibson. That's okay, and he's familiar. He's a guy that's gotten a ton of interceptions in his career, but I don't know, just forgot in that moment whatever it was. But also, look, not that the Bears may have recovered this, but the fumble there, what ends up happening – nothing really ends up happening in terms of scoring for the Rams, right, when Khalil Mack has that sack fumble. Mm-hmm. But the Rams do recover it. They punt it. The Bears get this, and on that next possession, they're at the Chicago 1. They're at their own 1-yard line. Of course, they're going 3 and out, so field position plays a factor. And then on the next drive, the Rams get a touchdown. So
that's actually good. That's a sneaky big play, because we talked about that Bears drive and how it did lead to that short field for the Rams. So you're right. That Khalil Mack, if you pick it up and the Bears are the ones that have the ball closer to midfield at that point, that, too, could have at least maybe kick-started something, potentially. Again, that may have been a tall stretch for this Bears offense, but potentially could have helped swing the game back in Chicago's favor, at least give them more of a fighting chance throughout the remainder of the game. So, yeah, no, that missed opportunity of not getting that fumble picked up that Khalil is able to force, I think that's a really good call there, Nick.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's still a great play by Khalil Mack, and one that we've seen him, you know, make consistently over his entire career. But you pick that up, like you said, maybe it sparks some kind of fuel to the fire for this Bears offense or whatever. But just missed opportunities, missed tackles, and look, let's bring in the offense again. They didn't help out this defense whatsoever, and I think that does play a factor into what happened tonight.
Yeah, let's not talk about the offense again. True. But on top of that, Nick, I mean, the defense did a good job on third down, only held the Rams of 4 of 13. I mentioned it once, but I'll just kind of say it in some different terms here. I was a little disappointed by the amount of third downs the Bears were able to force the Rams into. There was a point where it was nearing the end of the first half where the Bears were facing like a third down like every 3 or 4 plays on offense, which is our problem, and I understand that. But the Rams, on the other hand, is like 6 to 7 to 8 plays until they're even facing third downs. And usually for this Bears defense over the last few weeks, it's they get them into a third down situation right out of the gate, and then you can shut them down, get yourself into 3 and outs. We weren't really able to put ourselves in a position to succeed like that because the Rams were able to get a couple first downs, get some early momentum on their drives, and that's what I think was putting the Bears defense on their heels. The Rams were using that early success, mixing it up with tempo, not allowing the Bears to sub, and I think those are some of the other sneaky things that the Rams did well, using their tempo. We saw it be really big in the red zone when they even broke out of the huddle quick and snapped it. Buster Screen couldn't get over. I find his guy, ID him in time. Easy touchdown for Josh Reynolds. Yes, he's one of my draft crushes from a few years ago, but I don't want to see him score against the Chicago Bears defense here. But outside of that, one thing that we didn't see a lot of so far this season is team success in the red zone. And I thought the Bears, you know, they gave up 3 touchdowns on 4 trips, which is a 75%. That's easy math, though. 75% conversion rate. And this is a team that was number 1 in the red zone on defense, not allowing touchdowns, only at like a 35-36% clip. And I think that was just a testament of them, at least more of a sample size of them breaking today when we haven't seen them really do that in the past. Is there anything else about this defense that we should discuss heading out of this game and looking ahead to the Saints? I don't know if we want to go that far right now, but anything else about this game with this Bears defense that you want to make sure that we discuss?
You know what, I'll give a shout-out to Jalen Johnson here, especially since I got to meet him earlier this week. But against Los Angeles, he did make a couple of good plays. And, you know, right off the bat, he gets challenged on a deep shot. He is right there and almost in position to make an interception on the play. PFF pulled up his stats from the game. 35 coverage snaps, 3 targets, one catch allowed and one forced incompletion. So that's just the rookie going up against a quality receiving core and, you know, meeting the expectations of what he has upon himself and just playing another good game. And this was after a game against Carolina where we said, hey, he had some up and downs, but that's a positive. Like, there, you could look at this defense and say there's a lot more positives than you can than the offense, for sure. But Jalen Johnson is one of them, and just want to give him a shout-out because I got to meet the guy earlier this week, and we need something positive to talk about at this point.
Yeah, we sure do, and that, you're right. That was a good call. Johnson did have a really strong game, and it was sneaky because it was a quiet game. And but for corners, unless you're making interceptions, quiet games are just as well. And, yeah, it's interesting, though, even when you look at, like, the box. Like, Robert Woods only had 3 catches for 22. Cooper Kupp, 6 catches, 43 yards. But it was some of the other guys, like a Josh Reynolds, who was getting some of the bigger plays, and Everett as well. So they had to look at some other guys, and I think they knew that. I think they knew that Fuller, Johnson, they were going to be able to shut down their top two receivers, and they had to find ways to get other people involved. I know Kupp's more in the slot, but even it seemed like they were throwing different guys there tonight for the Rams. But, Nick, let's move into the fourth and the final quarter of our show. We still need to talk about Bears special teams. I already mentioned the positive, I think, which was that blocked field goal by Roy Robertson Harris, which brings me to my next kind of point, and I'll begin with a question. Why the hell is Ted Ginn Jr. still trying, or he's not even returning punts? Why is he a guy that stands 55, 60 yards away from the punter? That's all he does. So that's all where I'm going to leave it. Why is he doing that?
Yeah, he was the only spectator at the Bears game, this Bears-Rams game. It was embarrassing to see that this guy wants nothing to do with even getting close to the football. Like, he lets it hit the ground and lets this ball roll closer to where the offense, which he's not a part of, has to take over and kind of go from wherever this ball lands. And it's astonishing that Matt Nagy still, look, it's probably Chris Tabor, but I'm sure Matt Nagy's collaborating there. Like, you got to have one of your offensive players go back there, but I don't know why he's there, Will. I don't know what he does for this team. And again, another question that will go unsolved, and Matt Nagy will ask the why that we're still not, we still haven't figured out, but he does nothing for this team at this point. And I don't know.
Right? I mean, for me, they brought him in, and I was like, he's going to mentor Darnell Mooney. Like, he can do that not dressing in a uniform and just getting paid to be there. You can put him on the practice squad. You can promote a Riley Ridley. There are things that you can do. Even when the Bears needed to move the ball deep down the field, I don't think I saw Ted Ginn Jr. out there, who's supposed to be a speed guy, to give us that chance. It's Mooney. I don't know. Does Mooney need the coaching? Like, I mean, I'm sure he's receptive to it. And I'm sure he's learning a lot of good things from a veteran, but in all seriousness, it seems like a wasted roster spot for in terms of players who can actually go out there and make an impact playing the game. And I mean, he's not helping the Bears offense one bit. He's hurting them. He's allowing, you know, he's not even fair catching. I mean, he's running away from the football and just allowing it to go deeper and deeper into our own territory, and giving the offense longer and more difficult drives ahead of them. And we know this Bears offense needs every yard that they can get before they even touch the ball themselves. And this is where you miss a Tariq Cohen, who's one of the better punt returners in the league. And as much grief and gripe that we had about him sometimes at the position, I would love to have number 29 out there right now, returning punts and at least giving us a chance, and knowing we'll get, heck, maybe we'll get 6 yards on this one, but at least it's 6 yards forward and not letting the ball bounce 7, 8, 10 yards backward. And kudos to their punter again. He was doing a good job of pinning us deep. Ted Ginn Jr. was not helping whatsoever. And I know I hate it because we have to talk about it. Feels like we've been having to talk about it every week. But the level of lack of interest is so real and so evident. It rubs me the wrong way, and I'm watching it on TV. I don't know how a player in a Bears uniform can watch that. They don't need to be inspired by it, but how do you even get excited? Like, after a play like that, you're like, okay, here goes Ted. All right, there goes the ball. All right, offense, let's go. I mean, It's just too darn boring. And for a year that you need to bring your own energy because you don't have fans, you can't have many opportunities like that. So not only are you putting the offense backwards, you're not even giving us a chance of a spark on this, which is an electric type of play a punt return can be. And I mean, there's like a 0.0% chance we'll ever have one of those if number 19's out there returning punts. And I don't know, Nick, I'm sure there's someone on this team that can do it better. I bet you there are. How many people suit up on a game day? It's not 53, it's like 46, something like that.
Something like that.
So I can name 45 players that can probably do it better on any given Sunday.
And one of them is Bobby Massey, because we know he can catch.
He can catch. I'd rather have Demetrius Harris. He may not catch it every time, but he may try. He may try.
Yeah.
And it may, you know what? I mean, there's one play where he let the ball bounce, and I mean, it was like, and if you're listening, I'm holding my hands up like inches away from like his heel. I was like, what? Like, that's scary. And it's, he's not helping. And I'm rambling here, and that's okay, because if I'm going to ramble about anything today, it may as well be Ted Ginn Jr. and his lack of interest. And obviously I care because I'm still talking about it. But, Nick, anything else that you wanted to add about it?
Not about that, but special teams on a good note. Cairo Santos, the one opportunity that he got, 42-yard field goal down the middle. It was a good kick. It wasn't down the middle, but it was still a good enough kick.
It was through the uprights.
It was through the uprights, and that's all that counts. That'll get you 3 points there. And, you know, just kind of still continuing that he's some – I don't know if it's too early to say it's someone you can count on to, like, make those, but he's showing consistently now over the couple of weeks that he's a guy that'll give you points, and that the Bears need every single point they can take from here on out, and it was good to see him get at least make the one opportunity that he got tonight.
I'll say it. I wasn't going to say it, but I'll say it. When he was out there and he was kicking, like before the ball, like before he's like, as soon as it was snapped, I was like in the couch, like, yeah, like this is good. Like, I feel it. Like, we're all right. Like, I don't have to have that pit in my stomach. And now I said it, so that's not good. I should have internalized that, but it was hard to kind of bite my tongue. It's nice to have a kicker where, again, maybe you can't, you know, count on him 100%. And I think we have every right and reason to not trust kickers still. But I am starting to feel okay, like I can live with him out there, which is better than we've had so far in our past. But Nick, we can move on from the third phase. We can move into our call and audible. So we discussed this game in full. Is there anything that you wish happened differently? Is there a moment in the game that you would either take back or change? I have one, and then I also have my monster moment yet again, because if Foles doesn't throw that pick, I'm sure that changes the entire complexity direction of this game. But I do have another. But I'll let you. You want me to go first? You gonna receive, or are you gonna defer?
I'm gonna defer to the second half here. What do you got, Will?
I'm gonna do that. That miss bomb to Mooney out of our own end zone. Like you said, if you step into that throw, or if you just give it a little bit more air, I mean, you're looking at a 95-yard touchdown right there. You're looking at a big, big play from your rookie wide receiver. Nick Foles delivers, and if you can take that one, again, this team needed a spark, and that would have been a spark that could have maybe put the Bears on top. I mean, you do something like that, I think confidence gets risen, energy level goes up a ton. So if I can take a moment back and change how it went, I'll go with that missed bomb to Mooney and give the Bears. Honestly, that would have probably been one of the longest passing plays I've ever seen out of Chicago Bears in my lifetime. Can't think of any off the top of my head that would have been longer. So that's going to be the one for me. How about you, Nick? What is going to be your audible moment?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of leaning towards that Mac fumble strip sack to being recovered. But I think also just if Tashaun Gibson actually makes an effort to not punch the football and actually try to catch it, I wonder exactly how that maybe shifts momentum, seeing that it's still a one-score game and you're able to get this interception. What can the offense do with the quick change of field position, maybe go that up-tempo that at times was working if they didn't have to call a timeout and actually figure out what the heck play they were trying to run? That could have maybe changed things, given anytime you could shorten the field for the Bears offense, you'll take it. And doesn't mean they'll do something with it or end up getting points, but it gives them a better opportunity to do so. So either one of those plays, I think, would I don't know if it changes the game. I really don't, given that this Bears offense couldn't do anything. But I think if you give them at least a better opportunity, you'll see what happens. Maybe a penalty puts them in position at the one. They may take all four plays to punch it in, but you never know. So I'll go with either one of those two plays being the audible there.
You know what? After a game like we saw, I'll let you have two. I'm not going to harp on you and make you choose one. Honestly, Nick, I think kicking the game off would have been one we just would have done differently and hope from that point forward, whatever else happened, probably couldn't have been, at least for offense, as bad as we saw here tonight. Could have been given us a second chance, may have been just a mulligan. We'll play the game here in the wee hours of the morning, and we'll try again. But, Nick, let's move in. Second to last segment, what's going to be your – who is going to be, I should say, your Week 7 MVP, your most valuable Bear?
Yeah, and I was talking about him earlier. I think it should be Akiem Hicks, just the way he played. I know people look at the penalties and, you know, look at that as the negative. And, look, they are a negative thing that happened. But he was dominant today, you guys, I think just from start to finish. And there were times where, like, maybe other players wouldn't put the effort that Akiem Hicks was putting in. Despite whatever quarter it was, whatever down it was, Akiem Hicks was giving it his all and just being – he was just wreaking havoc and just giving the business to these Rams offensive linemen. And that was great to see because he is one of the top interior defensive linemen in this league. And he showed it tonight. I think if people are going to – they're going to definitely discredit the Bears. Like, if anyone's played that Among Us game, they are the imposter for sure. But Akiem Hicks by no means is not an imposter. He is a dominant defensive player, and he showed that tonight, what he was able to do to offensive linemen. And like I said earlier, I know it's a – I don't know if it's a bold statement, but just how they played, I thought he was the most dominant defensive player in this game tonight, given that you had two former defensive MVPs in this game, and Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. But MVP should definitely be Akiem Hicks.
Oh, so you finally played.
No, I haven't. But so I was supposed to play this weekend. We never did it. But I know that's how the game somewhat goes.
Yes, you're getting some context clues. We'll play. We can join a lobby. Maybe we'll get people in the chat that want to play Among Us. They can play with us, and they'll all be sus. But for me, Nick, I'm going to go with at one point in my notes, I had no one's deserving, which I don't think we've ever had a show. Maybe one where we said, screw it, no MVPs. Maybe one. It could have been a couple years ago, but I'm happy Eddie Jackson gave me something to cheer about. He's had so many of those pick sixes, scoops and scores. Anytime he's scored this season, like you said on the top of the show, yellow laundry on the field. And as soon as I saw, even he was like, what's going to be the call? Like, he's standing there like, give me my score. Like, I scored here. Come on, don't take this one away from me too. And they didn't. So luckily, they gave us something to cheer about. So for Eddie Jackson finally getting into the end zone and then not taking it back, and on top of that, he did end up as the Bears' leading tackler today with the 9 total tackles. Again, I don't think that's a great thing. Ideally, with how much the Rams were running the ball, those tackles would have been made by linemen and linebackers, not as much Eddie Jackson. But still, I'm going to go ahead and give him my MVP for scoring more, as we said, double the amount of points that the offense was able to put up by themselves. And the offense couldn't find their way into the end zone, but Eddie Jackson did. So for that reason, he is going to be my MVP. All right, Nick, all we need to do, and this is it, all we need to do is give about our two-minute warning, and then we can close the show. So I'll go ahead and begin with my two-minute warning. That way you can kind of stew on how you kind of want to frame this, because it's real interesting. We're in a very unique spot to be 5-2, yet feeling, at least right now, that there's a tremendous amount of issues with this offense that even we've seen some really good Bears teams with some very mediocre offenses have some good years. And for some reason, this feels almost a little bit worse. The Bears had a chance tonight to go 6-1 with the unquestioned best record in the NFC. And for some reason, they didn't play like they thought they had that chance. Like, they had a chance to show them, like, the world, like, hey, we're for real, and we are the best team in the NFC, or at least we have the best record and we can contend. And tonight, instead, they decided, we'll let the pretender people feel like they have it right now. I don't know. It's just a lack of urgency on offense, execution, not playing crisp. You had an extra day. You had a longer week. You really thought that they would have played at a much higher level. The Rams were coming off a bad game themselves. And, Nick, I told you, I don't like playing pissed off teams. They didn't even seem that pissed off. Like, they didn't even seem like ready to dominate either. It's just they played better and they executed at a higher clip than the Bears were today. And again, the offense only getting one field goal is a huge problem. But instead of going 6-1, they dropped to 5-2. We have the Rams coming up next. I mean, the Rams. We just did the Rams. We have the Saints coming up next. There's a real chance we go from 5-1 with a chance to have the best record in the NFC within 7 days, being 5-3, right in the middle of the pack, and a lot of question marks surrounding where this team's going to go. Now, I'm going to be hopeful, just like the Rams had a bad game, that we are allowed to have a bad game too. But I'm not going to get myself into the mindset where, you know, it is just a bad game. Like, oh, it's just one bad game, and we'll move on, we'll be great. There are some real serious concerns that we need to keep tabs on, keep discussing, keep watching unfold throughout this year. And I'm hoping that they can find an identity on offense. I'm hoping that the offensive line can, you know, they can whip out the smelling salts and they can just wake up and they can start wanting to play and dominate the line of scrimmage, give this offense a chance to establish a run, give their quarterback time to execute a play where he doesn't have to feel like whatever the play call is, he doesn't have enough time before he even snaps the ball to even run it. Those are items that really concern me, and I'm hopeful they can figure them out, because this is a defense that they can win you a lot of games. We've seen it. They can't win you every game, and we're also seeing that. So we need this offense to pick it up, because I think this is a year where they have a chance yet again, a lot like 2018, to at least make it interesting. Now, do they need to win the whole thing? No. Would we love it? Yes. Would they at least get into the playoffs? I would hope so this season, based off of the start that the Bears had. But I would love to have this team find a way to make things interesting instead of a team that squeaks themselves into the playoffs knowing that there isn't a real shot at much. So for me, I'm going to be cautiously, slightly optimistic that things can be worked out this season, at least to enough to make this season worth the ride. And I'm hoping that they're not going to be one of those teams, kind of like one of the Trestman teams, that start off so good and just fall apart near the end. And unfortunately, that's a possibility here too. But hopefully this team, what I've seen out of them, they don't have a lot of quit. They do want to, I mean, hey, maybe the season's going to be just like the year where they have a huge comeback near the end or something like that, and they really get hot in the fourth quarter of the year. We'll find out. But as of right now, pretty irritated by the lack of effort I saw tonight. Lack of execution on offense, and hopefully they feel the same. They have a sour taste in their mouth like me, and they have a short memory. They can turn it around, because if they don't, if we have another outing like we did tonight, we're going to get dominated by the Saints, and that's going to really change the dynamic and the perception of this Bears team and where it's heading here in 2020. So I know I went a little over my 2 minutes, Nick, but I let you usually go over 2 minutes, too. So you can have all the time in the world that you need.
You know, I never know how long I go with these, so I'll try to keep this short. First, I want to just start off with what Matt Nagy said tonight, you guys. Matt Nagy said, Cole Kmet's going to start playing more in this offense. He deserves it. He's earned it. We have to start using him more. So when you talked about things that irritated you, I think Matt Nagy right now just irritates me. We've heard this before in post-game press conferences with him wanting to play Cole Kmet, just things in general. But I look at this offense, and I see no answer to all the questions that they have. On this offensive line, we don't know the severity of Cody Whitehair's injury. You better get used to saying Sam Mustafa at center, right next to Rashad Coward and Jermaine Ifedi and Bobby Massey and Charles Leno Jr. That's your front. That's your starting offensive line. And you have a statuesque quarterback in Nick Foles who's going to try to throw it. That does not sound encouraging for the Saints coming up, for the Tennessee Titans that look like a really good football team. Heck, even the Vikings on Monday night, that's not going to be the cakewalk that maybe Bears fans were seeing as they looked at the schedule. And they shouldn't have never thought that in the first place, because no game has been a cakewalk. So this offense has some serious, serious issues, and it goes even beyond, far beyond personnel, what they have to just put out there for the 11 guys. It all starts, I think, honestly, with the play caller slash head coach and Matt Nagy, how he runs things, and maybe just not wanting to give up something that he takes so much pride in, being the play caller and the head coach. I think he just needs to wear one hat instead of two. Defensively, this is still a very good unit. I believe that wholeheartedly. They just ran into a Rams team that, you know, was playing some good football. You mentioned it, well, probably pissed off of how they lost to the 49ers, an embarrassing loss. They just gave the Bears an embarrassing loss. Will they use this to fuel the fire to kind of rebound for the rest of the season? I don't know. If this offense doesn't honestly get better, it's a bottom five offense. Can they get out of that? I don't know. And it's going to take execution from guys that you don't have on the offensive line, and maybe just a lack of personnel in general. And it's going to take Matt Nagy to really assess himself and look at himself in the mirror to see, what can I do better? Can I just give up this play calling? Can I just be a better play caller? It's 3 years now, man. I think at this point we know who you are. You should know who you are. I know it's a BU mantra that he embodies, but man, it has not worked offensively. Good coach, but the offense ain't working. So we got to look for other answers to maybe solve one of the many problems that are on this Bears offense and really this Bears team. Ted Kidd Jr. is a problem. I just wanted to mention that before I end this all. I'm ending it right there. I'm not very optimistic, but we'll see what happens moving forward. The Bears, they like to make things interesting, or just any of the words that we use in the beginning of the show when watching a game, but you know we're going to watch them. Can you just at least make it a game? 10-24. This wasn't a game from the very beginning, and it would be nice to even have... Well, I will take what we saw in the beginning for the first 6 weeks. This one... It wasn't fun to watch.
Nope, none whatsoever, Nick. And you really had me until you had to throw Ted Kidd Jr. into that one yet again. Also, I need clarification. Did you say we have a statue as quarterback or a statue ass quarterback? Because I really did not know.
I'm sorry. Maybe I just didn't enunciate the esque, statue esque quarterback.
See, I was wrong on both of what I thought I heard. So,
Sorry for that. That's on me. Maybe it's just late. I don't know how to pronounce things anymore. But statuesque quarterback.
much more elegant, I must say there, Nick. But I want to thank everyone here who's still up late listening to us talk about a Bears loss. That's always appreciated. That way we're not doing it alone. And if you're listening to the podcast here on Tuesday or later on in the week, I just want to, for both Nick and myself, thank you for your time as well. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't yet. That way you get a notification each and every time that we go live. If you want to join the live chat, watch our video cast. And if you're just loving the pod, stay in the pod and crank it out. If you're going to stay over there, though, make sure to rate, review our show on Apple Podcasts. That helps us reach more Bears fans just like yourself, and those are always appreciated by us. Up next, we got to start our homework for me, depending on how I feel after I crank out this episode, probably a little bit tonight, a little bit tomorrow. I have an interview with our Saints guest already in about 14 hours, so it's a short week, and I'm already feeling it a bit, but no rest for the wicked. And you know, here at Chicago Audible, we put in the work. So real quick turnaround for us. We'll be meeting the Saints, the 4-2 Saints here. Well, for in your feeds here in about a day. But until then, enjoy your Tuesday. Enjoy your start of the week as best you can. I know starting Mondays are tough, and ending them with a Bears loss doesn't make the start of a week any easier whatsoever. So again, Bears are now 5-2, and we'll see what kind of trajectory they want to start as a very critical stretch as the season continues to unfold. But we'll talk to you here soon. But until then, Bear down, Chicago. Bear down, Chicago, Bear.